The ESL Rochester Fringe Festival, the most anticipated festival in the region, will once again excite audiences with nearly 650 performances September 9th through the 20th. From comedy, dance, and theater to jaw-dropping spectacles across 39 venues all around Rochester. Don't miss amazing performances in the Spiegel Tent, including the world premiere of Cirque du Fringe Claws Out, Shot Sphere, Kids Fringe, and more. And direct from Italy, Sphere, a mind-blowing outdoor spectacle, free at Parcel 5, September 19th and 20th. RochesterFringe.com.
Let's take a minute to talk about Joe Bean Coffee, my go-to for great beans here in Rochester. I'm Chris Lindstrom, host of the Food About Town podcast and co-founder of Lunchador, and I regularly brew their coffee at home. A recent favorite of mine is the natural process Colombian Finca Buena Vista coffee from Edwin Zambrano. This coffee won a 2024 Good Food Award, and I can't help but agree with that assessment. My brews have been full with fruity flavors of pineapple, strawberry, and orange, and each cup has brightened my morning. Next time you need some beans, head over to Joe Bean's Roastery at 565 Blossom Road in Rochester, or shop online at joebeanroasters.com. For our loyal listeners, save 15% off your next order at joebeanroasters.com with code LUNCHADOR. You can also subscribe to Joe Bean's Perpetual Joy and receive freshly roasted beans on your schedule, and never be without great coffee again. Joe Bean is more than just coffee. It's a community, a commitment, and a cup full of care. We are back with another Fringe Preview podcast. The ESL Rochester Fringe Festival going on from September 9th to the 20th in scenic downtown Rochester, New York. Go to rochesterfringe.com to find out all of the events. Get your tickets for ticketed events and get the app so you can get to stuff on the fly. And I'm here with some guests. Guests, why don't you introduce yourselves?
Hey, Chris. Thanks so much for having us on. I'm Charlie Hume. And my friend here,
Oscar Wahlberg. We're both here representing Star Street Productions and our show that's going to be up in Rochester called The Naval Gazers.
So why don't you tell me a little bit about The Naval Gazers show and what you've been doing with it so far?
Yeah. So, I mean, Oscar and I have known each other since we were 13 years old. And the bond has stayed strong through the years. And we both live in New York now. We're both pursuing acting. And we started developing this show about, I mean, almost 2 years ago now. Our other two co-actors are actually our two girlfriends. So it's a very tight-knit cast of people that's been developing the show. Our writer and director, writer Jack Harding, director Michelle Chan, they both attended the Pace University film and television program with Oscar. So that's kind of our team based here in New York. We've been working around like completely conflicting work schedules and like struggles of working actors to get this thing up on its feet. And the past couple months we have been popping around, do some different fringe festivals to start getting our first audience feedback.
Yeah, and the show is really great. Simply put, it's a modern force. We sit it in Greenpoint, Brooklyn, right around the way from where we actually live. Simplest elevator pitch is that it's basically the story of moving in with a friend. And then by the end of living with your friend, you don't only, you know, hate them as a roommate, but you hate them as a person, which I think we've all experienced to varying degrees, especially those of us that lived in a city. So.
Yeah, which is there's this specific thing, especially in, you know, major cities. Here in Rochester, New York, we do have that, but not nearly as much as in obviously New York City, in Brooklyn, in other places, you know, Chicago and LA, where roommates are such a critical part of, you know, living in your early 20s. You have no choice unless you have the luxury of having obscenely rich parents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Charlie and I, you know, have always been, you know, both of us went to a school that was really, really nice where we met a lot of those kids with obscenely rich parents. And it was always Charlie and me, you know, getting closer, spending time together because everyone would go on vacation for 2 weeks and me and Charlie would just literally like throw rocks at each other in the parking lot of our high school every day because we had no money.
So Oscar, where did you summer?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. Dorchester, Massachusetts, the place I wintered.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, and that's the thing, like, you know, there's so much, like, Boston's one of those cities that has so much, you know, so much disparity from, you know, depending on where you live, if you live in the city proper or if you live in, you know, Cambridge versus living in Dorchester or living in, you know, South Boston or somewhere else. It is such a city with divergent ups and downs. And that's the kind of thing you see too in New York, because it is a city for everybody, although people are getting priced out. When you guys were thinking about doing this, was this really, you know, was this around, you know, purely life experiences? Did that cover, you know, other things like that? And Greenpoint obviously being, you know, kind of the home for change in, you know, the whole New York area. It was one of the bellwethers of change was Greenpoint from, you know, it had a connotation, and now Greenpoint is, you know, post hipster central because like post hipster is what it is now.
Yeah. I would give a lot of props to our writer, Jack Harding, who we developed this script with. But you know, a lot of that heart and meat of the script is really from like Jack's lived experiences. Although he would be very sure to tell you first and foremost that it is fictional. but there is totally the lingering feeling of all of that, especially in the case that like my character Miles is the quote unquote local. His father is the owner of the building, and he basically wanders into the lives of these other three characters who are like out of towners, you know, all like met in high school or college and have varying backgrounds to a degree, but all kind of come from that like upper class background. So you do see a real clash, at least personality wise.
Nice. So Charlie, from your perspective, you know, how does the writing correlate with, you know, your experience, you know, living in the city so far?
I think that the things that become the largest impediments to peace and happiness in like your mid 20s are, it's like, who are you living with? Working, who are you dating? Like these are just the things that kind of all of us go through, and on the surface just kind of simple happenings, but like when you scratch under the surface, there's so much stress and pressure and emotion that's going on in conjunction with those experiences that, like, you know, just as you become a young adult, you're just trying to navigate towards who's that person that I want to be. And you naturally have to start asking yourself a lot of hard questions. What do I want my space to be like? Well, what kind of energy do I on where I lay my head down? Like, what type of person do I want to maybe build a life with? Like, what career do I want? What is this, you know, maybe bullshit that I'm pursuing? Like, it's not what I want. And then the hardest thing on the other end of all of those questions is like, you don't necessarily have an immediate answer. It's that, like, you know, maybe you want to just turn to the complete opposite thing, but like, that's not the solution either. There's a vague gray zone of just discovery that you have to go out and do and just figure that out. And that's right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, for
just,
sure.
We're just, I don't know, trying to hammer theater in New York and see where we can go with it.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the, you know, as the old in this conversation, you know, I think about my 20s as kind of a lost period for me, because it was, I had no idea who I was. I didn't know how to be a functional social person. I didn't know how to do that side of things. And I think, you know, as somebody who at that point in my life was more, yeah, I was, my longing was deep. It was intense. And I wanted to have, you know, friends that I cared about. I wanted to have relationships. I wanted to have all the other stuff. I had no idea how to accomplish it. It's something that in retrospect, now being, you know, an old in the context of this conversation, when you realize that all the confidence you see at that age was all an artifice anyways, and that everybody is learning on the fly, regardless of how they come across, because it's impossible to know who you are fully when you're in your mid-20s. You think you do, but then it's that journey like you're talking about, Charlie, where it's like you're going to learn so much, and you're going to see your younger self as a very different person than when you started your 20s.
Totally. Every day, I think we're figuring that out. The other day, my mother told me about how she was pregnant with me at my age. And I'm like, well, I don't even know, like, where my life's headed. You know, every time I reach a milestone, I had my birthday the other day, and I was like, wow. I remember when I was in college going, like, I'm not even going to graduate this program. Like, I'll get an acting job, and in 2 years, I'll be like, see you later. I won't have to pay for school. Everything will be good. obviously, that's not the case. So I love the depth of observation that both of you guys have, you know, brought to the topic. I will remind us, too, that we're all going to, if you join us for the show, are going to laugh your asses off. I hope I can curse. Excuse me.
Oh, please.
While we do that.
Yeah, and for a reminder for everybody, the Naval Gazer shows are on Friday the 19th at 5:30, and then Saturday the 20th, 1:30 and 6 o'clock at the Rose Room. So, you know, check that out. You got a few opportunities to, you know, go see their show. What I'm kind of intrigued with is, you know, when you guys were thinking about going into acting, was that something that was... you talked about when you were, you know, when you were younger, or was that something that came up a little later?
We did it together a bunch in high school. Yeah.
Yeah.
Both just did a pretty much all of the theatrical productions through the school, fall, winter, and spring.
So what's a memorable, like, high school, middle school production that you guys remember fondly, either from it being great or really not great?
Couple of them.
I have an interesting one. I wouldn't call it a production, given that we didn't perform it on a stage and it doesn't exist and never happened on Broadway. But one thing Charlie and I used to do was fake fights with one another. On those same vacations I mentioned, where we had no money and nothing to do, we would fake arguments with each other in McDonald's for the sake of getting people's attention, as well as out front of our school, we would pretend fist fight in the hopes that somebody would pull over and be fooled. So I think that's probably where we got the best chance to cut our teeth comedically, so to speak, and really, really got to know each other and build a good relationship. But yeah, we did all sorts of stuff. We also did Peter and the Starcatcher, for a more formal answer.
So, I mean, I'm now dead intrigued. So now, yeah. Now was that you guys having like Jackass inspiration or like professional wrestling inspiration?
The first show that we were in together was Diary of Anne Frank, which was obviously right. Very serious subject.
A little bit tonally different from fake fights to grab attention from passersby.
Probably right. Yeah.
We definitely, a lot of our character and flavor into that production. There was an enduring inside joke in that cast through the production. This is our freshman year of high school. I mean, there's the really serious sort of pinnacle moment when the annex is stormed by the Nazis coming to take them
for sure.
The camps, and we stormed in, and there's kind of a brief moment of silence on stage, and the Franks and everyone in the annex, they had been eating spice cake there, and in the middle of that moment, 14-year-old me in the silence decided to cut it by saying, "Is that spice cake?"
Suffice to say, they put us, you know, we again cut our teeth, you know, working on shows and stuff, but our youthful energy was tough to contain, you know, just within the confines of the theater. So we had to make our way, you know, making jokes where it could be appropriate.
Yeah.
You know?
So what I'm kind of intrigued with as we're wrapping up is when did that transition for both of you into, yes, you know, there's this, you know, there's a romance for acting, but hey, this is something we really want to pursue. Was there a specific moment that you guys remember that said, hey, we want to create something, we want to try to produce something?
Well, I think we probably have different individual answers. However, like, I know for a fact that I was sitting next to Charlie when I decided that this is what I was going to be doing for the rest of my life. Because we were in class together, and a kid who came, who had graduated in the past, came in and said, like, "Hey guys, like, you might not remember me. I was here like 2 years before you, but I went to Tulane to study like economics or some other serious real life nonsense no one's interested in. And I decided to drop out because I wanted to act again." And he went to the Lee Strasberg Institute, which is where Charlie ended up going, on a pretty similar path. But I remember that day going like, "Oh my God, that's what he gets to do in school." I was like, everybody's like so career oriented, you know, children of lawyers and doctors and real estate moguls and what have you, right? And, you know, here I am sitting there going like, my dad always told me to do what I love. And this guy is literally talking about like, yeah, we get up and like take our shoes off and stretch and dance and sing and do monologues. We learn how to fight each other. And I'm like, this is school? Like, I really hate the regular kind of school that we've been going to. How do we do that? So I think the both of us probably had a real growth experience, like revelation, if you will.
Yeah.
Doing that stuff together.
I mean, it kind of took me a little while to realize that I did not want to do one of those quote unquote here serious real world things. I studied George Washington University, studying political science, trying to be real serious. And I still am very, like, very interested in, like, all sorts of socio-political issues and definitely, like, plan to maintain that in my artwork. But, like, I realized 2 years in that I just wanted to move in a more abstract path and remembered, listening to PJ Letty, who had come and spoken to us about dropping out of school and going to the Lee Strasberg Institute in New York City. And so that's literally exactly what I did. I dropped out and I went to the Lee Strasberg Institute in New York City. For anybody unfamiliar, Lee Strasberg is sort of one of the fathers of like method acting. So that was a great opportunity, like a really amazing opportunity to attend that school and study the craft there for a few years. But for sure that exact day that we sat there and listened to that guy come back and just talk about this journey of like, yeah, I was pursuing this thing. I realized I hated it and I just dropped it and like jumped into the thing that I really wanted to do with my whole heart.
That's awesome. Well, guys, I really appreciate you joining us over on Just Can't Not and preview for the Fringe Festival coming up. The shows, again, are on September 19th at 5:30, September 20th, 1:30, and 6 o'clock over at the Rose Room. Tickets you can get on rochesterfringe.com. $12 a ticket. I mean, great to see, you know, production that is, you know, this is a passion project. This is the kind of thing that Fringe is made for and the kind of thing where you get to see, hopefully, people we're going to see for a long time acting.
That's right. Chris, thank you, man, for your time.
Thanks for
dealing with all the technical difficulties, man. We appreciate it.
No problem. Yeah, thanks for joining us, guys. And hopefully we'll see you out in Rochester in a couple weeks.
Can't wait.
Cheers.
Yeah. Let us know if you want to come check out the show.
Sounds good. All right. And we're going to be out and check out RochesterFringe.com. We'll be back next time with more Just Can't Not.
This has been a presentation of the Lunchador Podcast Network.
All right. Thanks, boys.
Thanks a lot, man. Appreciate you.
All right.
Thanks.
Safe travels. Day. See ya.
Yeah. Have a good one.